or he can start working on that after work, the sooner we get tax money coming in. So, I don't know why we want to hold them off.
I will call this meeting to order on December the 15th at 7:01 p.m. If you would please rise for the invocation and the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather together and be as one. Help us with the decisions that we are making tonight and to be a well-oiled machine and to work together. Please be with Lisa Pierce and her family during this difficult time. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
It looks like...
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Greider.
Here.
Councilmember Martin.
Here.
Councilmember Street.
Here.
Councilmember Wyatt.
Here.
Mayor Aldrich.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Moving on to five, citizen participation. We have four signed up to speak. The first is Roger Romans.
Next item 19, Madam Mayor, if I could speak at that item, I'd rather wait on that.
Thank you, sir. Next in line, we have Jack Miller.
My name is Jack Miller. I live in Kirby, Texas, on Dick Gordon Street, 4839. For those of you that were watching, I don't stand at the Pledge of Allegiance here because I believe that this place is full of tyrants who are engaged in unconstitutional behavior. And frankly, I view that as a joke to stand at that flag with you guys. So that's why I do that. No disrespect to our veterans or our United States or Texas flag. But I will not stand with certain people while they are saying the pledge to the flag. Okay, so at the last council meeting, Christopher Garza brought up that the mayor, I think, made a complaint against me to Child Protective Services maybe or something like that. And the mayor said she's not ever done that. I submitted a public information request to the city for that police report. Your law firm has lied to the Attorney General's office. I will be submitting you their argument. It has lies in it. For example, the investigation is open and it involves criminal activity. In fact, the police report, which I have, by the way, I got it through my civil depositions and discovery. Your stuff comes in all the time. It does not allege any criminal activity. The title of the report is Neglectful Supervision. That is not a crime in Texas. It is an issue to be considered at court whenever a family court is considering removing a child from your home. It is not a crime. But Rampage Law Firm says, we're not going to give them the report because it involves criminal activity and it might interfere with an investigation. And by law, we don't have to give it to them. They are aware of what's on that report. They are also aware that I know everything on that report because I told them everything that's on that report. One of the things I also mentioned that's on that report is the mayor's name. Now, if the allegation was that the mayor was a complainant, that's not accurate. The mayor's on the report as a witness. And let me tell you what the mayor witnessed. This is according to Child Protective Services. When they interviewed me for about 2.5 hours, they explained to me the entire allegation. The first allegation was that I've had my son here after he peed his pants for 2.5 hours. The thing is when I gave my body cam, which runs all the time, to Child Protective Services, in full disclosure, it showed that that child was taken home 32 minutes after he said that his pants were wet. My live stream was 2.5 hours. And I could imagine somebody that wasn't present, which the mayor was not present out there when this occurred, only the police chief was. If you weren't there and you're going off my live stream, I can understand why you think that he stayed there for 2.5 hours, or why a person would think that. The second allegation is that a sex offender was coming to my house regularly, I quote, regularly, and had access to the child. That is a concern. And definitely, if anybody thinks that that's going on in any household, report that to CPS. Don't tell them you've seen it happen if you didn't. I provided more video to CPS during that investigation. A year's worth of video of my house, inside and out. Christopher Garza never appeared on one video. Nor did he appear even on any of my neighbor's videos. I have two cameras set up on my street, one in each direction. Christopher Garza's vehicle, I went and identified his vehicles so I could give it to CPS. Because I was curious, has Christopher Garza, has he even ever driven by my house? Nope. So basically, I'm going to ask that if you have made an allegation against me, and you made a mistake, own up to it. If you say you're not on a police report and you are, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe you forgot. I'm okay with that. I'm fair. But this is the way I'm going to handle this. The mayor made a statement that she's not on the report. I have the report. I have been authorized to release it to the public. I got permission from the court. It's discovery. You can't release it. But I got permission. Recant that statement. Make an accurate statement. Mary, you're listed on there as a witness. That I'm just telling you. You're as witness. So, you know, just change it. Like Mr. Grant, when I first came, when Mr. Grant made the false statements about me being a statist, all I asked him to do was correct the record.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
For your time.
Next, we have Nick Babick. Okay, thank you. Next in line is Stephen Pittman.
Yeah, I'll speak when G comes up, please.
What letter was that? G9G? The council retreat, sir? Okay. So, moving on to 6A, consideration of an action on minutes for regular meeting minutes for December 1st, 2022. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the minutes on December 1, 2022 with the changes that have been made.
What changes?
Yes, ma'am, you may. Under
the paper you got.
Oh, that's what it is? Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure what that was. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Walczyk, seconded by Councilmember Street, to approve the regular meeting minutes of December 1st, 2022 with the changes. City Secretary, please call roll.
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca, abstain. Councilmember Garza?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
No.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. The meeting minutes with the changes for December 1st, 2022 have passed. Moving on to 7, presentations. A, annual holiday decorating contest winners, beautification and recycling committee. I will turn this over to our Mayor Pro Tem, Janisa Greider.
All right, so for residential award, honorable mention goes to Ms. Teresa Vogel.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Greider. Next, moving on to 7B, City of Kirby Blue Santa Program.
Hello, good evening, Council. So, the update on the Blue Santa Program is we got a total of $3,984 in donations. On top of just the monetary amount of donations, we got gifted Christmas wrapping paper, other toys, some gift cards, blankets, bikes, helmets that we got donated. We did go today, and we did go shopping. We got clothes, Today we got clothes and toys and books and kind of do-it-yourself science activities, and then we still have to go and get the shoes. So that is what we did today. We are going to do the wrapping at the fire station next week, Tuesday, at 9 a.m. in the training room. And just let y'all know, if the door isn't open, just ask dispatch and they can buzz you in there. We are going to try and deliver on Thursday of next week to the families. We do encourage anybody that wants to come help wrap. We had 28 families. That's a lot of toys, a lot of clothes, a lot of items to come out and help us. If you can't make it on Tuesday or you need to be a little bit later on in the day, please call the police department and you can either speak with me, Megan, or Teresa, and we can get y'all over there. I did speak to Chief Hilburn. We do have the training room rented out for the entire week. So we can work with everybody to do the wrapping. Do y'all have any questions?
I don't. Does anybody have any questions for Megan?
No?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Moving on to 7C, Cookies with Santa.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
The 18th?
That's right, the 18th. Wait, days are out. So we are having our Cookies with Santa and the parade on Sunday. We'll be meeting at the John Sterling Building. And I don't want to get the times wrong. 2 to 4, thank you. The building's going to start for decorations. We're going to start off at probably around noon. They're going to decorate the inside, and we're going to have lights on the outside. Pictures are going to be available for families to take. They'll be taking their self pictures, or we'll be helping them. We're going to be reading books. We're definitely going to have volunteers out there, so we're excited. This is probably the most positive part of the year. Our officers love it. I love it, and we're excited for it. You guys have any questions for me?
Anybody have any questions for Chief?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good. Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, of course.
7D, Annual Santa Parade.
Good evening.
Time of the year. Welcome to the 47th annual Kirby Santa Parade hosted by the Kirby Volunteer Firefighters. The Santa Parade began around the 1975 time frame. Was started by the Owls, which was the women's auxiliary of the Kirby Volunteer Firefighter Association. Has been, you know, a fire department tradition for over 46 years. This will be the 47th. Families tend to have parties and gatherings around. We see it as we drive by. It does take about 4 hours long. We start right at 5 o'clock, and we tend to end about 9 o'clock, a little after nine sometimes. We do take a 10-minute to 15-minute break. At the John Sterling Building. Some people do come around, take pictures of Santa standing on top of the fire truck. We do ask that we give him a little break. I know he runs Christmas in like one night, but I'm sure he uses the restroom once in a while too. It's always been open to city council members and nonprofit entities within Kirby. We already have Santa confirmed for the date. He will be coming in from the Cookies with Santa event instead of the North Pole. We do go down the street, and the map has been posted on Facebook. We do not go down cul-de-sacs or the streets that are dead ends. So we pretty much hit every street in Kirby. Once again, it will be December the 18th. We leave the fire station at 5 o'clock. Any questions? And we're not going to play the video.
Thank you, Chief. Does anybody have any questions for Chief?
You have one out there?
Mr. Miller, you had your hand up?
Yes, ma'am. This is an agenda item I'd like to speak on.
Go right ahead.
Jack Miller, 4839, Dick Gordon. Sorry.
Yeah, it's loud.
So some of you may know, some of you may not, but I'm going to reiterate this. The chief certainly knows, and the police department certainly knows my concerns about the parade. I think it's great. I'm just like anybody else. I love Christmas. But this has happened twice, and I think last year they responded the best that they had so far. Hopefully this year we don't get that far. But what I'm talking about is this parade. I'm not sure, and I would like to ask a question because based on the chief's answer, I may not have anything else to say. Are there going to be sirens this year?
Yes, typically the siren is used to announce that Santa's coming.
Right on. Okay, so on that note, a police siren or a fire truck siren runs between 110 and 120 decibels. You may not know that. That is a fact. Look it up yourself. Normal hearing can withstand can stand up to about 20 decibels. Between 20 and 40 decibels, you, or more importantly, a child, this is a child's chart, a child will suffer mild hearing loss at between 20 and 40 decibels. Moderate hearing loss continues up until 70. Severe hearing loss happens between 70 and 90 decibels. And profound hearing loss happens at above 100 decibels for children.
Does that have to be sustained for a long time?
This is...
I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay. So, Mayor, are you going to... I mean, is this what we're doing? Are we going to start going back and forth with citizens while I'm up here speaking, or are you going to control that, please?
I would just ask you,
Mr. Pittman.
Please prevent folks from interrupting my time. Do I get five minutes to speak on an agenda item?
Yes, you do, and you're burning your minutes now, sir.
Right, and he just burnt about 11 seconds, so can I get 11 seconds on that? And you shouldn't be running my time right now anyway.
Please have your
Because I was interrupted and I haven't continued, so my time should have never started again. Okay, back to what I was saying. A good point was brought up. Does it have to be extended? Yes, it does. The answer is yes to that. I'm not just being a jerk. I went out and took video of parents keeping their children there for as long as 7 minutes, chasing down these trucks that were moving slow. So I documented at times up to 7 minutes worth of exposure. According to my decibel meter, 90 decibels. And I wasn't near the fire trucks. So, yes, there are instances of prolonged exposure, according to our medical stuff from CDC. I documented instances of parents unknowingly exposing their children to prolonged exposure to decibels exceeding 80, according to my decibel meter. My only concern is this. Either don't play those sirens, especially when children walk up close to the truck, or anybody for that matter, or play the sirens but educate our citizens that if you choose to engage us while we're doing the sirens, consider wearing hearing protection. That's all I'm asking. Now, I was turned down on the suggestion of using hearing protection, so I took matters in my own hands, and I told Kirby Police last year, if the fire department comes down my street blaring sirens announcing Santa, My broke down car might be in the middle of the street and I might be waiting for a tow truck. And imagine those big fire trucks having to turn around in that small Allen Shepherd. They stayed off my street. I don't want them to stay off my street. I just want, can we educate our citizens that these sirens, these are the decibel levels, suggest using earplugs, like we suggest wearing masks when you're sick. I don't think that's an unreasonable request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Moving on, we're going to start our public hearing, but we have a request by the citizen to postpone 8B and 9B to our January meeting on January the 12th.
I'm sorry, Mayor. So the public hearings, we need to proceed with because they're
okay.
Advertised.
So it's just 9B.
Discussion item, they can do that, but we need to have the public hearings.
Okay. But can I go ahead and have that postponed now, or do we have to do it?
Well, I would go ahead and do the public hearings and wait until you get to the agenda item.
Okay. All righty. I will open the public hearing at 7:27. Public hearing 8A. Public hearing on a variance to the building code section 150.16. To waive the requirement of the installation of automatic sprinkler systems in a 3,556-foot suite in a commercial building located at NCB 10596, Block 1, Lot E, 29267 feet of 5, otherwise known as 4758 Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, 78219. Is there anybody here that wishes to speak on this agenda item?
My name's Roger Romans, 4511 Henneke. I'm speaking, asking that council considers a favorable on this variance when it does come to vote. The International Building Code standard is commercial space of 5,000 square feet. A few years ago, Kirby amended the international code and lowered it to 2,500 square feet. Well, I don't know why our council then deemed it was smarter than what the international building code was. And you know, I know they brought up safety. If they're that concerned with safety, this building here is over 2,500 square feet. We should incur the expense of putting some sprinklers in here because safety is the all-important issue. It just seems that this here is inhibiting businesses here in the community. And I believe this is going to come up on another agenda item where the ordinance is, and I hope the council considers favorably raising that up to what the International Building Code is. But if they don't, I ask that they consider a variance for this property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robins. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? Mrs. Mann.
Hi, I'm Patricia Mann, 5518 Harris. And I'm not sure why we're even considering a variance when we heard Chief last week say that he wasn't positive that they could respond in time if there was a fire. That's what I'm worried about. If we're going to change variance for one business or another business, why don't you just change the ordinance back to what it was? Or if we're going to move forward and keep these good recommendations that you guys put in place, then everybody has to adhere to them. We can't grant variances one at a time because it's not going to be fair to other businesses. There was that baseball place that couldn't get the variance, and what happened to that? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that place is still empty. So that's just my thoughts on it. Just think about that you guys might be up here again giving every business a variance. Thank you.
Is there anybody here that wishes to speak?
Good evening, Council and Kirby. My name is Nick Babick. My wife and I own a small business, a bar, very close to here. And I'd like to say we've been there 11 years and never had a fire. And we also own this building that's on the agenda, and we've owned that for over 10 years, and we've never had a fire there either. I've asked the city if we can make the space smaller. We'll make it 2,400 square feet, and apparently, through Patty Cox here, she said that the fire marshal says, no, we cannot. So we're ending up with a space that we cannot do anything with. It would be a similar business to Who Knows Bar. We generate $5,000 a month in mixed beverage tax. We also have six well-paid jobs that are $50,000 a year plus. And it would be in the interests of Kirby and the community that businesses would be allowed to operate as businesses instead of empty spaces and making the place look unruly. Thank you.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak on this issue? You don't have to raise your hand. This is an open hearing, sir.
Just trying to get your attention. I have a thousand ways I can get your attention, Mayor. I think you probably prefer me raising my hand. I have been in owned various houses for 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, and I've never had a fire in them until I did. That's all I wanted to say.
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak on public hearing 8A? Okay.
We can't do that, right?
We will move on to 8B. Public hearing on a request to allow the property located at CB5903, Lot 9, otherwise known as 3814 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas, which is zoned single family dwelling District R, to be rezoned as multifamily dwelling District R2. Is there anybody that wishes to speak on this issue? Please proceed to the podium.
Council, thank you. I'm Patricia Mann, 5518 Harris, and man, I really have to talk on this because on Ackerman, all those properties run back. So those, if they're all going to be developed into multifamily places, we're going to have a real mess over there behind my house, and that's not why I moved there, you know. We buy a big lot because we like it. It looks nice. And I understand that people want to make some money and maybe want to put a little house back there. But we can't have all of Ackerman built up like that because you're going to have to put in streets. You're going to have to put in sewage and the whole bit when everybody has these little casitas back there. I don't want them behind me. I'm not saying that I don't have room to put a little house on my property, because I do, but that's not why I bought it. I didn't buy it with the intention of building a little house, and I don't think anybody else on Ackerman did either. So I'm really against this. I can't tell you how much I am against this. You bought the house knowing that it was a house with a big acre property. Leave it like that. Thank you.
My name's Roger Owens, 4511 Henneke. I'm personally not against the variance. However, I do have a concern. Previous legal counsel has spoke here at City Council when he spoke of spot zoning. Here, this is a R1 development, and right in the middle of all the R1, you're now considering a spot zoning variance. The previous legal counsel had stated that this had gone up to the Supreme Court and it was found to be unconstitutional. Like I said, I'm personally for it. I think it would be great, but my consideration is if there's objections in the long term, it may actually have validity. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak on this issue? I will close this public hearing at 7:36. Moving on to 9A, discussion and possible action on variance to, let me read it first.
Okay, babe. Sorry.
Discussion and possible action on a variance to the Building Code Section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of automatic sprinkler systems in a 3,056 square foot suite in a commercial building located at NCB 10596 Block 1, Lot E, 292.67 feet of 5, otherwise known as 4758 Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, 78219. Open up for discussion. Councilmember Walczyk.
Madam Mayor, I would request that we move up 9F before any discussion or action in regards to the ordinance that we are changing. 9F, I would like that to go first, please, ma'am.
I will entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, I move that we move 9F to the top of the list for
9.
For 9.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grider to move 9F. To before 9A. City Secretary, please call roll.
Excuse me, Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Walczyk?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Garza?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. 9F has been moved to the beginning of section 9. I will open up the agenda item. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2022-920 of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 150, Building Regulations, Article 2, Building Construction Code, Section 15.016, local amendments of the code of ordinances by adopting amendments to the minimum square footage that requires a sprinkler system for certain occupancies, repealing all prior ordinances in conflict herewith, providing the severability and providing for an effective date. This is the first reading. I will entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, I entertain a motion to accept the first reading of, do I read this or this up here? This or this? This. To amend ordinance number 02022920 and ordinance of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 150, Building Regulations, Article 2, Building Construction Code, Section 15.016, local amendments of the code by adopting amendments to the minimum square footage that requires a sprinkler system for certain occupancies, repealing all prior ordinances in conflict herein, providing the severability and providing an effective date. This is the first reading.
What's the effective date?
The effective date, is it listed on here or do we use today's date, ma'am?
It's just going to be when the second reading is.
Okay.
Madam Mayor. It's not correct. This is not what I went back and forth with the lawyer for. This is not the right. It's not the right information. It's also not complete because it doesn't have all of the exceptions in here. It goes from A, and then it doesn't. It's missing a whole page. It didn't change the A2s to 5,000. I'm missing a page.
Okay, so am I to believe that we do not have a second and the motion dies?
Susan, can you explain where that was?
It's where it says Exhibit A and it goes down to 2 and then there's A. The following exceptions are hereby established. There's a whole list of exceptions in there that should be here and it's not here.
Is that not under C?
No. It's after, it's on Exhibit A. It goes A, B, C, and then C, 1 and 2, and then there's just one little A. There's a whole page missing in between that and where it says 15 libraries, 16 museums, pool, billiard halls. There's a whole page missing. I know because I wrote it.
Isn't that right here? Susan, is that under not under 2A?
No. No.
Where did we go wrong?
There's a page missing. That's what I'm saying.
Where is that page?
There's a page not here.
Okay. Then the motion dies.
I see it. I see it is missing page in the packet, at least.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that that's how we write it. I'm confirming with my colleague.
I believe you. I just don't have it.
Could we double check that to see what the attorney sent, please, and collect that missing page?
Yeah. Do you
want to
check what we sent?
Yeah, I can go and look.
Could you please do that, ma'am?
I can check that.
Okay.
Yes. In that case, Patty, I will withdraw my motion until that paperwork comes up.
Okay, thank you. We will move back to 9A. Discussion and possible action on a variance to the building code.
This whole page missing.
Do we want to skip this?
I would think until she comes back with the page, we should skip that and do it.
I will entertain a motion to skip 9A until certain information has been verified.
I make a motion that we skip 9A and even 9B until Monique finds the additional page that belongs in the ordinance and move on, and then we can come back to it.
Second. Not
9B. Well, I think it's going to have something to do with it.
No, you can only do one at a time.
You can only
okay.
do one at a time.
Okay, then 9A. I amend that.
Susan, did
second.
You? Thank you. We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Walczyk, seconded by Councilmember Street, to postpone the agenda item 9A until we receive the proper information after Monique comes back. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Walczyk?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes, 9A has been postponed until we receive the proper information from Monique in a bit. 9B, I have been asked to postpone to our meeting in January 12th. Because the resident is still at work, I will entertain a motion.
Madam Mayor, I will offer a motion to postpone 9B until our January 11th meeting.
Second.
12th.
Sorry.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Walczyk, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to postpone 9B to our January 12th meeting. City Secretary, please call roll.
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. 9B has been postponed to our first meeting in January, January 12th. Moving on to 9C, discussion and possible action on entering into an agreement with Greater Northeast Little League for the use of land owned by the City of Kirby for Little League baseball athletic functions. I do believe Roger Romans has asked to speak on this issue.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. The license agreement under consideration addresses the use of the fields in the park over at Friendship Park, which I wholeheartedly support. What needs to be clarified in the license agreement is the use of other park permanent structures. And the structure I'm referring to specifically is the permanent structure in the park between the Little League fields. Last year alone, Little League collected nearly $15,000 in concession revenue, primarily out of the building in the park. $9,300 of that was profit, according to their own statement. This building is used exclusively by Little League. I mention this because I would like to hear clarification as to who owns this structure. Is it the city's structure? And if so, why isn't it managed? It's given away at no charge for Little League to use, and they're generating $9,300 in concession profit. If it is the Little Leagues, then please provide the legal documentation supporting this. And why wasn't the proper metering installed when it was initially constructed? Thank you.
Mr. Miller, you have also signed up to speak on this issue. Would you wish to speak? Mr. Miller, I'm speaking to you. Yes, sir, and I addressed you, sir.
I wasn't calling on the last one. I was confused.
Mr. Miller, I really do not want to be argumentative to you. You do not have to raise your hand.
Well, quit calling me out. If I want to talk on an agenda item, you'll know. I want to talk on all of them. I heard what they had to say. We've talked about this before. Now I don't have anything to say because I listened to them talk. Now I have nothing to say.
Thank you, sir. We will move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have council discussion on this? Councilmember Walczyk.
Yes, I do. I believe Clarissa has got some information on sales taxes through the concession stands. Keep in mind that I believe Mr. Wolf sells personal property from his T-shirt shops there also. And so I'm looking about sales taxes for the concession stand. And also, I would like you to clarify a permanent structure on Kirby property cannot be owned, if I am not mistaken, by anybody but the City of Kirby. That is our property. So could you speak on the sales taxes and him selling his personal items and the sales tax portion of this?
What entity? We don't know that. The entity that you're entering into the agreement with
is exempt.
Okay.
Sales taxes.
And could you clarify the building itself? Does it or does it not belong to the city of Kirby? Thank you. There's no place in the contract that says anything about the concession stand. That's why I was asking specifically. Thank you so much.
Okay. Do we have any more discussion? Councilmember Street.
Is the representative from GNL here?
Yes, Doug Wolf is here.
Hi, Mr. Wolf. Hi. You don't look very happy. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I was just told I run a t-shirt shop out of the concession stand, so, I mean.
Okay. Well, I didn't. Anyway, I'm asking what you pay Live Oak to use their fields.
Live Oak, we pay nothing. They do all the maintenance. We do not pay water. We do not pay electricity either.
So they don't charge you anything?
They charge us nothing.
Last time I asked you about the utilities, because you had a, I think it was $2,600 noted on the utilities, and you said something about phones.
We have a cell phone.
That's $2,600 worth?
We have internet.
Okay. Still don't know what the $2,600 is for?
Don't have it with me right now, no.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because you're not paying utilities here, and I really think that that's not an unreasonable thing to ask. I have the information from Converse on if you were going to use their fields, and it's $50 per team per season per field plus electricity. Do you know how many teams you have? I looked at the list, and we only have the team information for October through November.
That's our fall season.
Right. You have a spring season?
We do.
And a summer season?
No.
Just a spring and a fall?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know how many games you play in the summer? And in the spring, excuse me?
Games?
Yeah. How many nights you're using the fields?
Oh, I could tell you.
Because we don't have that list. We can't even estimate how much electricity it might be without knowing how many games there are.
I would say probably pretty much every night.
Okay.
But during the spring, we're not using the lights every night.
True. It gets, but we don't change until March. The time doesn't change till March.
We don't start our game until after spring break.
Okay. You use electricity in the concession stand, though?
Correct, we do.
24/7, right? You have a freezer and a refrigerator?
Correct.
Okay, so that is specifically your electricity use?
Correct.
Plus every night that you've got this concession stand open?
Correct.
Okay. So do you think it's unreasonable for us to ask you for electricity?
I don't, but I don't think we should be paying full water if we're not going to be able to have exclusive use of the fields.
Okay. I don't understand.
If the community can still go down there and use the fields during the day, during the weekends, and whatever. So I don't think we should foot the full water bill.
You're talking about for the restrooms?
No, I'm talking about watering the fields. We shouldn't be paying full water if it's still going to be open to the community.
Okay. Because why?
Because if the community's using it, it's a community asset. Why should we pay the full water bill to water all the fields if other people are going to be using it?
Okay. Well, I'm sure we could figure out some percentage, perhaps. I'm just trying to be fair to the city and to the kids that are playing on it. And I don't begrudge you making enough money to cover your costs, but you're a nonprofit, so just want to make sure that we're being fair to everybody.
Councilmember Martin.
Mr. Wolf, can I make a suggestion? If you'd be agreeing on this, right now you're renting by the year, right?
Correct. Well, it's a two-year contract.
Okay. What if we charge you so much per season? I'm not talking about fall season, spring season, for a year, and then we have gather all this other information we need during this time. They'll still get used to the field, and if we have to take the loss this year, we'll just take it. But then we'll have a year to find out how much it'll be fair to the city and fair to them. We don't want to stab him. We don't want to take a loss. So we could come up with an agreement, you know, say for the fall ball and the spring ball, two different deals. That's just what I suggest. So he can move ahead and move forward.
Councilmember Wolzik.
Okay. Are our fields exclusive to Mr. Wolf during practices and things like that? Because this lease just says the game days. So I'm a little confused about that. Do other people are allowed out there, or is it exclusively his teams that get to practice on it? Okay, because that also practices was not included in this agreement. And that's why I was trying to get to that. That needs to be changed in this, that his teams have a right to also use the fields for practice. Otherwise, anybody can get out there and use those fields for practice, because this contract specifically says for his games only.
Doug, do you have teams that use the fields for practice?
Correct.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am.
Councilmember
Street. Do they practice on the same day as the game, or is it a regular, they have practice days and then they have game days, right?
Correct.
So days that there isn't a game, then they're out maybe practicing. Somebody is?
Yes.
Possibly. Okay.
I think that needs to be included in the contract. And I also think that we need to include the concession stand with some fee because it is a city building. How do you pay your umpires? Do you give them 1099s? You do give them 1099s? And what about the people that work the concession stand? They are volunteers, so you are not paying them any type of money whatsoever. Okay. And then we've already discussed, of course, the health department, which you said you will handle. Okay.
Monique, you said you got some information about metering the electricity.
We would just have to deduct it and basically get the price of the kilowatt and then figure out what he would owe.
Monique, did they say how much that meter would be?
No, they're still waiting on the price quotes from their vendors as well, and then the availability for it.
Okay. Well,
Councilmember Garza.
I have a question. Who would be installing the meter for the irrigation? It's this 1558. Would that be the city of Kirby?
Yes, city employees would install it, so we would just be paying for the equipment.
Okay, so this right here is the cost of all this equipment? Is that what I'm looking at?
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, obviously, like some of this stuff we don't already have in the warehouse. Is that correct? Like the meter?
So the quote that we're waiting to get would be a device to add to the CPS energy meters that are
So what we're saying is we still don't have all the information to actually really approve this. Is that correct?
If you all wanted to do those individual meters, then you would not you all have that for electrical meters.
Okay.
And I can give you all the idea. I just looked at a couple of bills. So again, there's two meters in the park. They're labeled as 5745 Benzingleman 1 and 5745 Benzingleman 2. I actually looked at the whole year last year. So one averages between $9 and $19 a month. And the other one averages between about $200 and $400 a month. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the time of year.
Okay. When was the $200 one?
Well, you know, that's the ball field.
Oh, which month mm-hmm. of the year? So that one was, so November is a little higher, it's like in the 400 range. I can't remember what that was. This one is February, it's in the 300 range.
Which one was 19?
Like in January? Little League is not having games.
But think. Yes. Okay.
Councilmember Street.
So,
hold on.
We have on the low end of a busy month, it's $200. Okay. Mr. Wolf, how many months is your spring season? Three, probably? March, April, May? Okay, and then your fall season is October, November, and a week of December?
No, we don't think it's
so. Okay, so October and November. So that's 5 months. Would you be open to, on this contract, splitting it on those 5 months? $100 a month for the 5 months. So $500 for the electricity this year on this contract. Would that sound fair to you? Because sometimes it's going to be more, but then you're running the concession stand the whole time. Your freezer's running. Your refrigerator's running. You're using electricity when you're not even there.
If it's capped at 100, I don't have an issue with it.
On this contract. And then we can evaluate what we need to know for the next time. Does that sound reasonable? Does that sound reasonable to you guys?
And that is per month, you said?
100 for the electricity.
Per month?
Per month, plus the lease.
Plus the lease.
1 month is 100 for 5 months, so $500 for the electricity. And you can pay that on a monthly basis when... Okay. Does that sound reasonable?
It does, but...
Councilmember Walczyk, you may have the floor.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm so sorry. Because you don't start until March, can you give us until January to get this other information so we can get all of the ducks in a row for you and for us? We're giving you a new license agreement, so it would be fine.
Councilmember Martin.
I don't think
so. It's back to the same thing I suggested earlier. If you split his seasons into two seasons and pay $500 for fall, $500 for spring, you know, it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Why isn't it? $500 and $500 is $1,000.
No, $500 for the electricity and $750 for the lease.
Yes.
Oh, I thought we said $500.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, Councilmember Walczyk.
Obviously, the contract needs to be rewritten to include that stuff so Doug is covered as far as the concession stand. It's not in the license agreement. All of this is for just the fields. So I think in everybody's best interest, the concession stand needs to be added in here just for legal purposes and the electricity usage that we are going to charge them needs to go into this license agreement as well. And that would give us time for our legal team to do the license agreement again and get it properly done so everything would be signed proper and your ducks would be in a row and our ducks would be in a row.
But can't we go ahead and approve this with the changes tonight?
No, ma'am, because we haven't got the meter stuff yet.
So are you wanting to wait because you want to know the cost of the meters? Or are you all saying that the city is going to pay to install those meters anyway so you can track
the... Well, it was part of the agreement to get that meter and the price cost and all of that before this was done. So I think that we need to have that so we know what we're looking at. It's only moving it off to the end of January, to the second meeting in January, and he's still not starting the league yet. So that's plenty of time, and he's not going to lose any time as far as that goes to get this license agreement done. But it needs to be included with the concession stand because he is paying insurance and he needs to know that he is paying that insurance and it needs, everything needs to be in the license agreement.
Okay. But actually, the part about, at least I think I understand that you're saying this agreement is right now just saying that they're leasing the fields, but you wanted to include their leasing the concession stand and the fields. I understood that part. My question that I'm asking is these other items, because I think I heard us say we were going to track that and monitor the future. So are we saying the city is going to be purchasing these items? That really has nothing to do with them. We're going to spend for the water meters and the whatever this electric
The question is we've just talked about charging him $100 per month. That also needs to be in this license agreement for the electricity. So we just have to have an opportunity to rewrite it for him.
And that's exactly what I just said. We can approve it with the changes for it to be written so he can have his contract, but when he comes up and signs it, all the changes will be made. That we'll just approve it tonight.
I would personally like to see those changes first. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
Councilmember Garza.
I agree with Ms. Walzik on this one, and unfortunately, I don't agree with the council on the street. I think that what we need to do is we need to look at other cities and see how they're doing their parks and their stuff, and mimic some of those things. Also, you're pushing to basically sign a contract that is open-ended, and you're just saying we can track the changes, but there's absolutely nothing on that we can vote on after those things are done. So I truly believe that we need to get the contract first, approve it on the license agreement before we decide to just blanket state, okay, well, we'll approve the contract regardless before we've even seen completely what they've determined as part of that contract statement. Also, I do believe that in the long term that getting these meters would actually in themselves I think that we need to really consider looking into purchasing this stuff because they are utilizing very specific. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they even have an ice machine there, right? They have freezers and fridges. I mean, they're exclusively using this electricity, and we're being charged for it. We're subsidizing it as the city. So I think that we need to make determinations before we decide to sign contracts like blanketly that say, oh yeah, well, you're going to get it just with the changes that we make these determinations on later. I think this needs to come to council first, and then after that, we can make that determination. But I think we do need to look at other cities to determine what we should be charging. Thank you.
Well, if we're going to look at other cities, I think we should go with Live Oak and not charge a darn thing.
Well,
We don't have that kind of money.
Okay, no.
So, Mayor Pro Tem Grider, did you have something?
Yes, ma'am. Well, as far as the other cities, so we do have two other cities. We have Converse. Councilmember Street has Converse information, and then obviously Live Oak, they don't charge at all. So we have that information. But as far as approving tonight the changes and then he signs the contract later, we do that. That's it's not like that hasn't been done before. We verbally say what we're going to do, it's voted on, and then then he just signs it. I mean, I don't see what the holdup is. And the 100 per month,
for this year.
For the 5 months.
Yes.
It will just be for just this year. I mean, I think that I'm all for that.
Not yet. Hold on. Hold your horses. Mr. Miller had his hand up. God bless America. It is your turn, sir. I wanted to get through all of council discussion before I allowed you to speak.
No problem. This is about meters.
No, this is about the Little League contract, sir. Thank you.
That's a big part of what's going on here. That's, you know, so. Okay, so on this, look, I was told I couldn't plug up my electrical outlets because I don't pay for the electricity here. This is city electricity. I can't plug in all my media equipment. I agree. Didn't like that, but I agree. So in the same sense, as much as I love softball, and Little League, and coaches that do this, okay, and I have a big heart for them. I'm sorry, they shouldn't be allowed to use city electricity, just like I can't use the city electricity here, no matter how valid his cause is or how valid my cause is. I just wanted to point that out. I was going to take full 5 minutes talking about electric meters, but thank you for handling me appropriately.
Councilmember Martin, did you have something, sir?
As I said before, Ms. Grider is saying the same thing. Let's give this man a contract for 1 year. Let's figure out what we need to do during this year, and we can make any changes next year. It ain't going to get done in 2 weeks. So I'd like to make a motion. Is it okay that I make a motion?
Yes, sir, it is.
To give this Janelle a contract for $750 a year.
Plus
$100 a month on the months that he has ball games.
So it's a total of $1,250.
For a total of $1,250.
Okay. Amen.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Martin, seconded by Councilmember Street, to accept the Little League contract for $1,250 a month, broken down to?
A year.
I'm sorry, a year. Sorry. $1,250 a year, broken down to $750. Plus the $500 for the 5 months of electrical usage. Also to include the concession building in the contract.
For 1 year.
Thank you. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Walzett?
No.
Yes.
Yes. G-Nail has its one-year contract. Praise Jesus.
Yeah, you got a year.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Doug.
Okie dokie. We will now go back to 9F. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2022-920 of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 150, Building Regulations, Article 2, Building Standard Code, Section 15.16, Local Agreement of the Code of Ordinances, by adopting amendments to the minimum square footage that requires a sprinkler system for certain occupancies, repealing all prior ordinances in conflict herewith, providing for severability, and providing for an providing an effective date. First reading. Councilmember Street.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the amendment to ordinance number O-2022-920, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 150, Building Regulations, Article 2, Building Construction Code, Section 15.016, local amendments of the Code of Ordinances by adopting these amendments to the minimum square footage that requires a sprinkler system for certain occupancies, repealing all other ordinances in conflict herewith, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date as of 12/15/2022.
Well, we don't have a date until after the second reading.
Oh.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street, seconded by Councilmember Walczyk, to accept the amendment for the ordinance number 2022-920 of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 150, Building Regulations, Article 2, Building Construction Code, Section 15.016, local amendments of the Code of Ordinances by adopting amendments to the minimum square footage that requires a sprinkler system for a certain occupancies, repealing all prior ordinances in conflict wherein, providing the severability, and providing for an effective date. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
No. The amendment to ordinance number O-2022-920 has passed.
Yay.
Moving back to 9A. Discussion and possible action on a variance to the building code section 1.50.16. Do we still need this even though second reading, never mind. Discussion and possible action on a variance to the building code section 1.150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 3,056 square foot suite in a commercial building located at NCB 10596 Block 1, Lot E, 292.67 feet of 5, otherwise known as 4758 Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, 78219. Discussion, or I will entertain a motion. Councilmember Walczyk.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve on the variance to the building code section 150.16 to waive the requirements of the installation of an automatic sprinkler system in a 3056 square feet suite
in a commercial building located at NCB 10596, Block 1, Lot E, 292.67 feet of 5, otherwise known as 4758 Seguin Road of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, 78219.
Second.
We have a Councilmember Garza, did you have discussion?
We get a second first. We have a second.
We do have a second. We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Walczyk and seconded by Councilmember Street. And we now have discussion by Councilmember Garza. That would be correct, but sir, the ordinance has not been approved. It has to go through the second reading, and this individual would like to proceed with his business.
I understand that, but if he gets a variance, is he going to have to come back and reapply to get a variance next year?
No, sir, because the ordinance had been changed. That's what I just said.
Okay, I just wanted to have clarification to make sure that that we're doing the right thing.
Okay. We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street, Councilmember Walczyk, seconded by Councilmember Street, to approve the variance to the Building Code Section 150.16 to waive the requirement of the installation of the automatic sprinkler system in a 3,056 square foot suite in a commercial building located at NCB 10596 Block 1, Lot E, 292.67 feet of 5, otherwise known as 4758 Seguin Road, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas, 78219. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Walczyk?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
No. The variance for this building code has been approved. Okay. We have moved B. We have taken care of C. Moving on to 9D. Discussion, update, discussion, and possible action on Alan Shepard Sewer Replacement and Road Construction Project. I believe I will turn this over to our city engineer.
Good evening. So I'm just talking about the project that's going on. I guess I'm just really asking questions that I have for the project.
Councilmember Street.
Why wasn't this on the original bid?
This is really the additional services for testing, for the pavement testing to verify the contractors installing that project.
Why is this a normal thing that has to go on?
Yes, it is.
Then why wasn't it in the original bid? Okay.
And this is an hourly contract, so it's just whatever testing that's going to be required can be by the hour, not to exceed.
So not to exceed 10,000, whatever it was. Okay. That's additional money we did not plan to spend on this street. We are already spending more than we had planned to spend in the first place. And now we have another $10,000 that we had no idea we had to spend. Have we ever had to do this before, Monique?
We have gone back and added
I'm not saying we haven't had change orders, but did we have to add additional money for inspection after we've done a bid? We have. Okay, we need to hang something on that so that we know this next time, and we include that in the total, okay? So, incidentals or whatever. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Walczyk?
How long have you been doing this, Mr. Payne? Don't you know that those tests are always run? And I do not know why it was not requested in the bid. The city has done bids before, knowing that they would have to pay this. And you, as the engineer, are the expert to advise Monique Vernon of things such as this to go in the bid. So disappointment is one of my least favorite words, but that's what I'm going to use at this point. You're nickel and diming us. And you knew it was going to be done. It should have been included in the bid. And because this is my first time on a street, I was unaware of that. But however, it sounds like other council members are aware of that and should have been noticed in the RFP. I did not see the RFP, so I can't address it other than that. But this is what we hire you for. So I just want to make that quite clear. Thank you.
Councilmember Martin.
You know, we're trying to run a business here. You know, things happen. Everybody makes mistakes. How much extra money did we put in that well that we wasn't planning on? Yes, that's right, a lot. We worried about $9,000. I understand money's money. But what are we going to do, stop the project over $9,000? I don't think so. I mean, I know you want to complain about every nickel and dime you ever write to, as you should. But you're accusing a man right here, a professional at his job, I think is very inconsiderate. That's all I got.
Councilmember Apodaca.
I agree with Councilman Martin that to say that this man is nickel and diming us, that is not accurate. Whenever you have, as a business owner, I know that a lot of times there are many unforeseen expenses when you have something going on, a project, whatever. But I think that, again, with the well, we spent a lot of more money than we thought we were. Things happen. This happens, and this man is a professional. He knows what he's doing, and it just happens. So I don't think that being rude to him and talking to him like you guys are talking to him is valid.
Councilmember Garza.
I agree with Councilwoman Walczyk and Councilwoman Street. Realistically, if these are things that we could have determined were going to be part of the process, then we should have actually had them in the bid. Basically, if this is equating to nickel and diming, what's ending up happening, this is not stuff that was ever seen as a councilwoman Abadaka stating. I mean, obviously, these are things that were something that we should have known about before we determined how much we were going to invest. So we would have an accurate depiction of how much money we're putting in. At the end of the day, these types of projects are going to end up costing us thousands and thousands and thousands more. And from what I'm seeing, it's almost to the tune of almost 10,000 or 20,000 more per set. And at some point, when we sit there and say, oh, they're unforeseen, they're putting us in a situation where, you know, we have to answer to that to the community. We are looking out to save the community money, and it's not on the backs of anybody. It's just something that we should, you know, when we present this to the community and say, hey, we've secured, you know, these people to do it for this price. I mean, that isn't their expectation. And as fair council people, I truly believe that we're perfectly in our right to continually ask questions, our money is being spent. this type of stuff, it's unacceptable. We need to make sure that we have an accurate depiction of our bid. And from my perspective, I'm looking at this kind of stuff, including, you know, the last thing that we had where we shut out another $10,000 because of somebody else's mistake. So I just feel that we're basically being lied to here, and I just don't agree with these are just unforeseen. They're not unforeseen. We just weren't told them. Thank you.
Councilmember Walczyk.
Again, Sylvia, you said he's a professional. He's done these jobs several times. He knows what they're there. This is not like an emergency at the wells. The well doesn't even equate to this. This is a project that has been well planned, and these things should have been considered. And that is all I am saying. I cannot see a professional missing the toe twice now in a row. That is my concern, is the additional monies that they knew were coming up, and yet we are now paying for because it was not in the bid process. That is what I'm saying. This is not an accident. This is not a mistake. This is well thought out, planned projects. Secondly, Monique, I believe because we received the letter from R.L. Jones, I requested that somebody from R.L. Jones be here. Did they decline?
They probably didn't come because Monique didn't request them.
Yeah, I may not have invited them, so I honestly don't remember. Because we're having monthly update meetings with them on the project status, but the contractors don't typically come to the council meeting.
Well, it's just because there was a conflict between Bain Medina Bain and R.L. Jones, and when you sent us the letter is when I requested them to come with their side. So that was one of those issues again. So
okay,
that is all I'm saying.
Okay, so to stay on track, we're pointing a lot of fingers here. Mm. So we need to come up with a decision. Councilmember Street.
My understanding is that they will not proceed with the street part of the contract until we do this inspection. Is this correct?
No.
Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this one.
I know, but I'm saying y'all are confusing both issues. This second issue is a testing issue.
Yes.
This is testing protecting the city that the contractor does it right.
Yes.
We're not paying the contractor this money. This is not in the contractor's...
I understand.
This is paying a separate testing lab.
Yes.
Independent testing lab.
Yes.
To test their work to make sure they do it right.
Right.
And
we can't get them to do the road part until this is done. Is this correct?
They're doing the work. It's just whether we test it or not.
Are we not required to test it?
Well, we don't have to test it. We can take their word for it.
I'm confused.
So basically he's saying R.L. Jones can do the work, and we can trust them and say, okay, sure. It's all fine and dandy. But Bain Medina Bain wants to do the testing to make sure that R.L. Jones has done their job. But if they don't test it and we take R.L. Jones at their word and it messes up, we're screwed.
Okay.
Councilmember Garza.
But wait,
oh,
please.
Sorry. Wait, Chris.
Didn't you tell me that they've pulled their stuff out until we do this inspection? Until we made a decision. Okay. And it's not required, but it's suggested that we have this done.
That's the way I understood it.
Okay. I'm just trying to nail down what has to be done and what is an option. Thank you.
Councilmember Garza.
Did he freeze?
No, he's dead. Nope. Sort of. Uh-oh.
Are you in frozen, sir? Okay, we will move on to Councilmember Martin until Councilmember Garza unfreezes.
Mr. Bain is trying to protect us.
I got it.
Okay, that's all he's trying to do. We either take protection or not. It's that plain and simple. Well, here we are arguing and discussing over everything, over every little detail. It's getting old.
Councilmember Garza, are you unfrozen, sir?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Is Bain Medina Bain not on site to check to ensure that there are actually
Councilmember Street.
Because we're trying to do what's best for the community, I'm going to move that we accept the proposal for engineering services to provide the testing and inspection services for a maximum of $9,500 on Alan Shepard.
Do I have a second?
A second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street, seconded by Councilmember Martin, to approve the change for the Alan Shepard contract for the engineering firm for the testing of $9,500. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No. Chris, are you frozen?
Yes.
You voted yes for this?
Yes, he's frozen.
Can you hear me? Yes.
So your vote is yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
You've already called me.
You skip me. Yes. The testing fee for $9,500 for Bain Medina Bain have the testing done on Alan Shepard project has passed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And they're doing a good job. They're ahead of schedule on there. So I'm thinking that R.L. Jones is good. Thank you, sir.
Moving on to 9E, presentation, discussion, and possible action on City of Kirby code compliance. Chief, make your way to the podium, please.
Okay, that's before that.
All right, good evening, Council. So we're just kind of going to go over. There's some concerns on our bottom. My bad.
I said the podium, ma'am. The podium.
I totally apologize. There were some concerns that were brought up last council meeting in reference to what we're doing and what our goals are and how it's being done in reference to enforcement of code. So I created this PowerPoint for y'all just to create discussions so I want you guys to be involved, but also understand why we do what we do and what the timelines are and why the timelines are the way they are. So to begin with, and keep in mind that I understand that the public is also watching this, so I want to inform them where they can find the city ordinances if need be, or if they have any questions where to go. there, but on the bottom of the page, it's going to say Code of Ordinances. Once you click on that, it'll take you to this page where you can search by word. You don't have to go through each one hunting what you need. You can search by, if you're looking for the word and, it'll tell you every and word that's in there. It'll make it easy search instead of just having to go through paper.
Excuse me, Chief. Councilmember Garza, can you please mute? We're getting a lot of background noise from your area.
Proceed, Chief.
And there's a delay.
So we're going to go over the...
Chief, I don't mean to interrupt you. I did not. I really did not mean for that to sound as mean as it did. Please continue.
Position the city for future growth opportunities. Now, since I've been here as chief and before, it's been very difficult to gather a point of direction from council because of the different points of views. Agreeing on something is important sometimes because it gives us a proper direction so we can meet your expectations and overall meet the goals and standards that you guys are wanting for the citizens, right? But overall, every single one of you has displayed a want to make the city better. So, and I'm going to explain how we're doing that. Educate the public on what we do. That's important. As we start getting, and I'm hoping we get more officers, my whole goal is to get out there with the community and explain what we do. If you give me an opportunity to talk, I'm going to take it. I think it's important to understand it. Develop long-range plans to address the aging infrastructure, which we have a big problem here in Kirby that has been neglected. And that includes residential homes, it could be trailer, it could be businesses. There are problems, and I'm going to go into that. One of the biggest things for me is be honest, fair, and consistent in our enforcement efforts. It's not about being unfair. And nor have me or any of my staff have ever been unfair. Offer options, resources, and solutions. Sometimes it can be as easy as removing something. Just remove it. Take it off. It's not a big deal. If it can't be removed and it's something that needs to be replaced, we will also let you know. Provide responsive and expedient service to all. So and I will tell you plainly, we have ramped up our code enforcement. We've become a little bit more diligent. And we have been in contact with a lot of people that we have given notifications to. They call us, whether it's to extend whatever deadline they have or inspection date. And we are more than happy to do that. But I want to show you the next couple of slides. I want to show you what we've produced for y'all, okay? This house right here is going to be one of the ones that we're paying attention to. Now, once you pay attention to, I apologize, I'm used to walking around, so you're going to see me walking back and forth. This house has been like that for years, even with us giving them reasonable notice, okay? The rubbish has been there for years. The house is falling apart. There's holes on the inside. So this house is, keep in mind, I will not be discussing any business by name. I will not. There's only one I want to praise to, and I'll move on to that here in a second. This will be going to building and standards. So I want to prepare y'all that we're becoming strict because of non-compliance. This is a business that has holes in the windows. The fascia is rotted. The paint is gone. Now, on the outside, it doesn't look very much, right? It's not a big deal. They can just replace it. The problem with not having a weatherproof or any treatment on the wood or a dry rotting from not having protection is that that weather or the moisture goes inside the building, which ultimately creates mold and does damage the inside. And that also affects the health and safety of people inside the building. Next one. This is another structure on the left. We have masonry, or the outside of the structure, that's actually missing. You can see, if you walk up to that hole or that slit, you're going to see, what is the intent? Remind me. It's the
insulation.
Thank you. Thank you. You're the bomb. So you're going to see the insulation. If it's exposed to air and exposed to inclement weather, that means there's damage on the inside. And that's been like that for years. We've also, with this business, given them a long time to fix it. It's not happening. The window on the right has been like that also for a very long time. We're getting non-compliance. So you will see that in the future as well. This is the parking lot. On the outside, doesn't look too bad until someone's walking up to the business. Somebody can trip, somebody can fall. Any standing water that creates mosquitoes, creates health hazards. That's what worries us. This is the same parking lot, completely destroyed. Now keep in mind, it has been fixed in the past, and apparently wasn't done too good because that's where it's what it turned it into now. This is another one with holes on the side of the building. That's just one side. There's more. All that window is completely dry rotted. That's exposing to rodents, which we do have in Kirby. There are rats. There are mice. There are cats. There are possums. There are raccoons. There's coyotes. You name it. My point is that needs to be fixed, and we cannot wait another 4 years. Oh, there it goes. That's also a business. And out of those holes, we see droppings. We see termites. We see ants. Same building, you can see the ants coming out. That's been like that for a long time as well. Now, I want to talk to you guys about what it was, what we're doing, how it's changing. I want to show you the impact that code enforcement, that we've done as a team, and she's putting a lot of effort in. This is the business I want to give a congratulations to. I want to thank them for actually completing it. They didn't have to complete it by 30 days, but they did, with one, or probably a week to spare.
They had, I think, 2 days to spare.
Yeah. That's what it looked like before. And every time we've notified them to let them know, hey, strike the parking lot, hey, you have a lot of potholes, you have a lot of traffic coming through, it's a danger, they fix it, they're always compliant, they're on point with us, and they communicate, and this is the end result. And it's beautiful. That's the vision that everyone has pretty much described in their own way here. And that's the direction I'm trying to move. This is another house. It was well known to people who live there, especially since they've been dealing with problems for years. Not only drug addicts, drug issues, rubbish, damaged property, holes, you name it. That's the before, this is it now. And that's after code compliance. The managers completely redid it, we evicted the people, and ultimately made it beautiful. It is now for sale as we speak. This is another house. It was absolutely in shambles. And we have a lot of these, and I want to show you the reality that what we're dealing with. It is not something that we're making up or it's just small time. No, this is what it's going to turn into if we continue not to allow and we continue giving people years to fix something or not be in compliance. What you see here is about 1 or 2 inches of fecal matter inside the home. On that left picture is a deceased animal that was abandoned. And it was left there. That was before code. Miss Thompson here, or Miss Wallace, I apologize. She worked with the new owners of this with code compliance and their notices.
No, this was not the new owners. The city cleaned this. And then it was bought after.
Okay, so I stand corrected. These are still the holes inside the house, and a lot of homes that we're entering whether it's for code compliance or we're entering just because we're having to peel people apart, this is what we're seeing more often than not.
So somebody was living in there like that?
Yes.
With a dead animal in it?
And the ceiling falling down.
No, the dead animal. Well, our suspicions at that point is he abandoned the home and left the animal there.
Oh, God.
But that's how it was when he left it. No food or water. Charges were brought up. Charges
to be, no water.
Yeah, charges were brought. That's already dealt with. I just want you to see, after code compliance and working, this is what it looks like now.
If I may say something, the city only cleaned it and removed everything. The new homeowner is the one that fixed it up, but with the building and standards, the danger structure stands even if it sails. So it was still forced for the new homeowners who did buy it to fix it, and they did, and they complied with it.
This is what it looks like on the inside, after compliance. I don't want to hit it again.
There we go.
Can you do it again? Now, on one of the pictures, you can see that was actually drooping. That's part of compliance and what we're looking on inspection days, is to see if they're trying to get it done. There's no way in heck dealing with building structure maintenance that there's somebody's going to fix that within 30 days. It's not going to happen. Weather's going to happen. Things like you guys talk about, things are going to happen. Our job is to, hey, let us know, and we'll give that extension. That's the important time. The important thing is voluntary compliance and us working with them fair and consistently to get it done. This is another one for code compliance that was labeled a dangerous structure. It was right here or near here. And they were forced to comply. There's an after picture of what it looked like after the fact. So I want to talk about positives and negatives. Now the positives are having code enforcement, again around the corner, it's safety and well-being of the public. What you're breathing in, what you're eating on, how it's being cleaned, where you're sitting your behind on when you go to a restaurant or a home is important. What you're breathing is important. Enhanced property, healthy living conditions. We have homes right now that have 50 cats each, hoarded. What are they breathing in? Ammonia, because they're not cleaning or helping the cats. Now the cats are sick, right? Enhanced property values through effective enforcement of property standards. If our businesses get together and our residents, which our residents are complying, most businesses are complying, you're going to see much more improvement in the next 6 months because they're going to comply. Not everyone is complaining. Not everyone's upset. And you're going to see major changes so that you guys, the goals that you have, especially Ms. Street and Ms. Walls, is to get more businesses in. That's what you want. This is how we do it. Now, Keep
and some up. Aging buildings.
Yeah, I have a hard time reading. Keep aging building homes and properties from deteriorating and become eyesores to the community. The other thing is, when managed in a responsible and effective way, code enforcement is a great place to start and build relationships with the community. And for us, for me, since I've been kind of involved with helping her and getting it to be more effective, I'm meeting people who are happy that we're there and we're building something together. Now, negatives of not having it, studies show that when you have communities and areas with blight and deteriorated properties, you may eventually see an increase in the amount of crime and significant decrease in property values, which is everything you guys are trying to change. And their citizens are trying to change too because they're fed up. Not only with the crime, but also the fact that, you know, when you have a beautiful yard and your neighbor doesn't, what does that do to your property value and all the things that you're spending on? It doesn't help you or help them. So a vacant property directly can cost a city government over $30,000. So we have a couple of vacant properties in the city, and when they're not maintained, especially the grass or somebody comes in and dumps something, whether it's illegally or not, or they're stripping and they're just treating it horribly, the city actually has to come in and fix that because it brings rodents. And now the neighbors are upset because you have this this sore that we're trying to fix. And every time that we do that, quite often, when we're having to cut grass and pick things up, we have to put a lien on the house just so we can get those funds back, because it is expensive. And the taller the grass is, the more expensive we pay. So an unmaintained property, whether it be a business or residence, can deter new businesses and also new residents from choosing the city as their new home. If we allow it and code enforcement doesn't get enforced, or we just continue to leave it alone, who would want to come here? A high liability is possible for the current business due to the conditions of the building and what the customers are being exposed to. Now, that's one thing I would pay attention to. If I had a business and it's not the best, there's mold, and you can see it from the outside, you can see that it's damaged, and you're walking in and you're inhaling that, that's a liability to the business. And in such a way, we're protecting that by enforcing these rules. Now, since we've vamped it up, and I'll give some better numbers later on, I'm going to post some online numbers for the end of the year for the total violation, but as of October 1st, we started changing how we do things and being a little bit more consistent. We've had 371 violations found as of residential, and the notices were sent. 77 of those did not comply. Now, as far as businesses go, I think it says 156 violations of businesses were found and notices were sent. And as of this time, follow-ups for compliance is pending because the due dates aren't there yet. Or not due dates, inspection date is not there yet. Also, a lot of them have asked for extensions and have agreed to our code concerns.
No citations were issued. Make sure you mention that.
Citations have been issued for the businesses as of yet. So the total violations that we found since October 1st is 527. And that's just the businesses.
Residentially.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm over here thinking of last week. I apologize. That's just overall. Now, what is the protocol? So home and business evaluation stage. The inspection process typically is the code officer, or if she needs help, I go with her, and we look at each home individually. That's how it's been ramped up. We're not going to choose, okay, we're going to choose grass here, we're going to choose this. No, each house is being evaluated individually, and we typically stop at 50 because the violations are so great. And it's not just grass. We're looking at, I've seen homes with holes on the side where I can see the living room on the inside. Now, we pay attention to state laws, IPMC, fire code laws, city ordinance laws, health and safety laws, animal control laws, and general property standards. This is the letter that they're receiving. And we're going to discuss what they're seeing so you can see it for yourself. The letter in itself is going to have a legal description. It's going to say who the owner is, right? Where the legal notice, or why the legal notice is going, what house, what property. And what you see highlighted is actually a business. That is not me making this up. That is something we actually sent. I just blocked out who it was to. We tell them what the violations are. On the bottom of this paper, we give them an inspection date or a due date, depending on what it is and based on our ordinance. We send that out as a notice for compliance and notification. This is not a citation.
Chief, can I add something to that? Mm-hmm. So on that paper, you just see the highlighted stuff, and I can't read it from here. So on this,
I can't read crap.
Like if it's
weeds and grass is the first one.
Weeds and grass, we're going to put where it is. If it's just on the side yard, we're going to put it's on the south-facing wall of your side yard if you're standing on the street. But They're going to know where it is. They're going to know what the rubbish is and exactly what that rubbish is. We will put tires, refrigerator, whatever it is. On these businesses, we will put exactly what it is, and we have the entire ordinance attached to it as well. So they can figure out where it is, it's on this paper, and exactly where on their house it is. So if you need to paint your trim above your driveway, on your house, above your garage, that's what we're going to state on there with the ordinance below it, and where they can find it in the ordinance. Just to let y'all know, it's not, we don't just give them that. We actually describe below this exactly what it is. So there shouldn't be any questions, but if there are, they're more than free to call us, and we will go out on site and actually point out what it is. Just to let y'all know.
Now, Chapter 99, I want to kind of guide y'all to some of the things that we, what gives us the authority. Chapter 99, authority and notice to property owners. I'm going to walk up, and I apologize that I can't. It says the city shall have the right to bring civil action for the enforcement of city ordinances regarding preservation of public health. And I won't read it in detail. I'll just give you guys that so you guys can look it up yourselves. Preservation of public safety in relation to structural integrity, and that's including materials or methods used to obstruct a building or other structural improvement. That includes foundations, wiring, plumbing, fixtures, and the entrances or exits. Zoning, that provides the use of land and classifies a parcel. Disposal of refuse or conditions caused by accumulation of refuse, vegetation, or other matters that create breeding. Dangerously damaged or deteriorated structures or improvement. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we go into the nuisance abatements in our ordinance. All of these stagnant water, accumulation of carry-on or filth, trash, rubbish, weed, brush, and grass, blowing grass, or debris into the street, 10-day notices are provided, and there is a due date at the 11th day. That is a due date on the 11th day. If you do not comply after 10 days on the 11th day, we are certified mailing a citation. That is per our ordinance. If the violation is going to take more than 10 days and they request an extension, we give it. Especially if we have rubbish that, like that home, it's going to take them probably quite some time unless they pay somebody to do it. To do it themselves would take them 2 weeks. That's just one corner. They have rubbish home. Yes, ma'am.
Does the notice say that you will give them an extension if they call you?
That's something we fail to do, and I will say that wholeheartedly. On the notice, on the 10 days, it says there's inspection date and their due date, and we can provide that. And one of the things, once I brought up, which was a great thing, is there was confusion on that. So that means we're not educating people enough. We need to put that on the letter and go. That's a promise. Yes.
Chief, I got a question. If you give 10-day notices or 30-day notices, how come it takes so long for some of these houses to get the building and standards?
Well, we give them 30 days from the date of the notice to start getting compliance. That means trying, right? Providing a timeline. If at the 30 days we haven't gotten word, we don't see any changes, at that point we have steps to take, which is posting in the newspaper, letting them know that there's going to be a hearing, that they're welcome to be there if they choose to, and then we have a meeting a month later. So probably it's about 60 days.
Okay. I think, if I may, with the houses that end up going to building and standards are a little more severe, and a lot of times they're vacant where we can't locate owners. So we try to use some of our resources first, like skip tracing, using our tax attorneys. They'll help us with some skip tracing, try to locate and notify owners or next of kin. So we have to do all of those things first before we go to that next step where we do the pretty expensive newspaper publication, posting on the door, mailing them out. So those take a little bit longer just because of the due process, basically, you have to give them on those more severe cases.
Well, that's kind
of
what I was asking. Asking because I know in some instances I've heard Megan mention your fine's going to start at this day, you know. But that's usually after they've already been in the building the standards, right?
I can't hear your
talk. That's usually after when the fines start being implemented to your violators, is already is that they've already been to building the standards.
So we're skipping a step. So we send out the letters, say the extensions are done and they're not complying. Then they're going to get a citation. Okay. And then they get to go to court. Okay? The court will either reset them to have time to do it because of whatever reasons that they have. So that could be in court. We only got court once a month. So we could be in court for 3 months. So now we're waiting for court. And then once court says, okay, this has been enough, you're guilty, or whatever that they're going to do, then it can go to building and standards. So depending on how long it's going to be in the court process of what the judge and prosecutor decide is fair time for them to have this violation completed, and if they don't, then it can go to building and standards. Building and standards is the last step. So there's steps before.
So to clarify, it's not always like that. We have agreed, I'm not saying, we have houses that are they're so bad, there's not going to be citations there. Now, if it's something for rubbish or my tall grass, and it's been, God knows, we keep giving extensions, yeah, we send out a citation for compliance. The courts do work with them. And it's not until we have to put a lien on the house because we have to do it ourselves. That we do, but building standards is the last step. But it's also, it's kind of like going, it's kind of like a tour process when you go into that committee. It does cost money to go in there, so we try to limit that to the most extreme.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Cause sometimes it seems like it just takes so long to get there. And
it does.
If you're not giving them citations while this process is going on, you're not. The city's the one losing money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And all of it, and as much as, again, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say it again because it's true. We give them years. Now, for grass and stuff like that, no. People are complaining about rodents. That's actually breeding animals and snakes and God knows what else. No, people don't want to live like that. Especially mosquitoes, all that cold water, we won't hold off the building center on that. We just get it taken care of.
And I want to say one more thing, I'm sorry. So, I may give an example. The house in the 4800 block of Cinderella, we had a bunch of people come in and complain about it. The owner was deceased. We know that because we were there and we did the death report, okay? But there was no relatives that were known. So it took us a while through the skip tracing and randomly calling people saying, were you related to this person? Which there could be a small list or a big list to find that person. Now they have to go through the probate courts to even get custody of that house before they can do anything. And that can take months. And these were, I will say, for abandoned houses, because that house was technically left abandoned after the passing of the homeowner. So that can take months. But I will say on that, the actual new, or the person who bought the house and probate fixed it up, and we didn't have to take it to building and standards, but it would have gone. And sometimes that can just take time.
And then sometimes the delinquent taxes help us as well. They save us money because if it's delinquent in taxes and it's gone through that process, it could end up in a sheriff's sale, and we, you know, then the new owners will come in and fix up those properties too. So we work with those resources also.
Well, I want you to know how much I appreciate you doing this, because when I asked you at the last council meeting what was going on, I know people are going to be watching. They explained it so they know what's coming. And you're doing a great job. Keep doing what you're doing so everybody understands, knows, everybody's on the same page. Nobody ever knows where to go or to expect. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You can do a thing. I want you to do that thing.
No. Okay. Specifically, an area off of Autumn Lane, which I've been complained to over and over, that have cars not only in their backyard, which is an EPA violation because they've leaked into our ground, and we know that. We have two cars on the side of the road that have been there for over 9 months. The front yard is disastrous. The last time I spoke to you about this, they said, oh, they're working with us. They haven't done one thing. It's been 9 months. How incredibly hard can that be? And also, another home just down the street from me, again, vehicles tacked up in the backyard, EPA violations, and yet, after all this time, how much time do we have to sit and wait for it to run into our water, which it probably already has? We have a rodent problem. We have snake problems, all from these, at least these two particular homes.
There's more, yes, ma'am.
And how long are we working with them? And those are just homes. I haven't even hit the businesses. So if you can explain why it's taken at least over 9 months for at least one location and probably 8 months for the other one, I'd like to hear that answer.
I don't want to give you the wrong information. I wasn't prepared to deal with Autumn or any house in Autumn tonight. However, I promise you I will get back to you next week or tomorrow to find out what the status is on that. If it is because we've gotten overwhelmed and haven't gotten to it, I will let you know. Wholeheartedly let you know. If it's something that we need to own, I will tell you. But that those two houses, times that probably a couple more because we've run into that. It is also an IPMC concern. It is not allowed in the city. It is not going to be tolerated. We have started with one particular house at a time in reference to those. We can lose track if we do too many. I want everyone to keep in mind that it is her only working on this, and if she needs help, I'm doing it. But I don't want to give you the wrong information, so if it's okay, I can get back to you tomorrow and give you some better information.
That'd be terrific on that. Have we yet sent out a help wanted notice since we put it in our budget to get another code compliance person? And when did that go out?
We did not put it in our budget.
We scrapped it.
Yeah,
exactly. And I was just about to make that point. I've always said the code compliance, we needed another one.
I don't remember us scrapping it.
Next thing I know, the meeting, it was scrapped. Yes.
I do not remember that.
Yes.
Okay. What?
There were some sacrifices made, but now you understand. Like, I want you guys to be involved and understand what we're doing. This is not easy, and me having the position I am, yes, I wear multiple hats. I'm trying to help her as much as I can, but it's not enough. I think loosely in this year alone, between, I want to say, 3,000 and 5,000 violations this year alone.
Okay. Well, why aren't we, and especially with large, preposterous numbers for certain businesses to be, excuse me, she's sitting next to me, large businesses to be notified, and for thousands of dollars worth of repairs, and never once got a knock on their door.
So that is very difficult. If you had a team to sit here and go knock with the amount of concerns that we have, and it's not just us going out there being proactive and finding them. We're getting them an email almost every day. We're getting phone calls almost every day. Her being gone for a week costs her maybe 40, 50 voicemails, but we have to follow up with all these people. We don't have the time. Now, is that something we would love to do and say, hey? But a lot of times she does. She does go out there and say, hey, just a heads up. The problem with doing that is non-compliance. And when the business owner calls, once they got the letter, I do go out. But they have to call because it's my understanding that if you receive the letter that has everything that you need to be done described in layman terms, I would assume that you know what needs to be done. And if you don't know what needs to be done, then you would call me.
And the letter does say that. If you have any concerns with what's cited, please contact me. Give email and phone number on the letter. And I'll show that to you here shortly.
Yes, I have to, again, commendate Officer Caldwell for a driveway that I mentioned to you, and you drove away. But he stepped up to the plate and helped and told him point blank, cow the cow ate the cabbage. So I appreciate him so much. Thank you again.
Citation and ticket a lot with notices. And when you guys say those things, they have completely different meanings, and it tends to upset people, whether it's them saying it to y'all, oh, I got a ticket, and it's upsetting to y'all, and it misinforms. If it's a citation or a ticket, it's going to be a lot. It's on 4-inch paper, it's thin, it's long, you receive it, and you get a court date. This just simply says, hey, communicate with us, I'm letting you know, but this needs to be fixed. And you're right. 8 or 9 months is a ridiculous long time. And we've given years. We've been more than reasonable, which is what our ordinance states. Reasonable. So, citations, and I want to remind everyone and the public that citations are a last resort. I don't want to give you one. She doesn't want to give you one. That causes us more work. We don't want to. We want just to fix the small things and let us move on so we can continue to beautify and make our city the way you guys picture it. Oh, I didn't mention it. This is actually a house that we went into. The hoarding. Windows are blocked, dust everywhere, mold on the walls. It's also the same house. Now, I'm going to talk about extensions. All you got to do is call us, email us, let us know. If you don't feel comfortable with that, you can go through the portal in the city, type in some notes, she'll send it to me. I will get in contact with you and say, hey, it's completely okay. I'll give you an extension. It's all good. As long as you show us that you're trying. The timeline, provide me a timeline. Tell me if it's going to happen. If it's going to take you 6 months, I want to know so that I know you're going to do it. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call the contractor. This is when we're going to have the contractor come inspect. You want to come out? Yeah, let's be involved together. Let's do it. If that takes 6 months, it takes 6 months. At least I know it's going to get completed. But nothing at all. Ultimate is going to It's going to be a citation for non-compliance. Now, we do follow-ups on each inspection date. And that's when we know non-compliance, or we decide at that point what needs to be done. Whether it's knocking on the door, or whether it, okay, we've talked long enough. All right, do you guys have any questions for me?
I do.
Yes.
So, am I tracking that also the reason why we're letting things take so long is money?
It is. So one of the things I've created is called Bravo. And I don't know if I've discussed that with you guys yet, but it's building and residential assessment of residents and ordinance. It's a team. It's consisting of code enforcement, law enforcement, ACO. It's like the DART program. You guys heard of the DART program? It's the same thing called something else. The only reason I call it something else is because even San Antonio didn't like it. Okay? So we called it this, and they actually enjoyed the name. They just didn't like the name. That's all it was. Each time we go to building a standards, it costs us between $200 and $500 to publish it in the newspaper. Each house, each meeting, each time. If we have building services, that's going to cost money too. Especially because a lot of what the quasi-judicial meeting does is it's basically like we're moving in towards punishment. It's a civil court proceeding when we go to building standards. It can't be held in court. If they don't comply, attorneys come in, and that's a lawsuit. We have to pay for those things. If we go into a house and we have 50 cats that we have to remove, we don't have the space, but we have to take them out because now it's a nuisance. The smells everywhere. We have to take them out. The veterinarian costs money. Each cat, food, water, spay, neuter, raise. costs money. And right now, if we take that project on, that is unexpected expenses for the city. And that's not fair. So I'm trying to go through, because it is something to prevent crimes, to beautify the city, try to go through crime prevention to get that funded so that the city doesn't have to worry about it, and we can proceed as needed for compliance to get the city, and that's the vision. Get to where God, it has to be.
And another thing is some of these things do cost a substantial amount of money. You got to think, I think structural maintenance can hold up to $1,000 fine in our municipal court, and you got to think, grass and everything else, it can hold up to a $500 fine. It's usually lower, but it can hold up a $500 fine, and we could write a ticket every single day. We choose not to because we're not overbearing you with money to come to court and time lost to come to court. If you have a job, it's not going to go anywhere. So at some point, we have to give them time, and that's just what it is.
Councilmember Garza.
Okay, I have a few things. Number one, I mean, this was obviously brought up because a bunch of businesses came in stating that they had received what they believed to be citations. However, as we just learned, it obviously wasn't that. But we did talk about, you know, being fair. And one of the gentlemen that came up last week was discussing how we received less than 30 days because of the certified mail that gets on the parking lot. Now, the thing is certain ideas of that I wouldn't consider fair in that, you know, we can't fix a whole road in that time. So my idea on this whole thing is that we just need to start working with our small businesses. And, of course, with our residents as well. But as we were saying about these extensions, I mean, have we reached out to these businesses to let them know that, hey, you know, if you can give us a timeline, if you can tell us some stuff that we can actually, you know, work with you on this?
Okay, so I'm going to reiterate what I've said. The gentleman that you're speaking of has had years of notices by Ms. Thompson. Of speaking in person, knocking on the door.
And I actually gave him an extension for his notice that he got before he came. I actually went and talked to him and gave him an extension for this violation. He has an extension. It wasn't done in 30 days.
So to answer Mr. Garza is yes, we're being reasonable. Yes, we're trying to be fair. And what I'm asking is that you guys trust our process. And I get complaints as a chief of police every single day. Every single day. But the one thing that demoralizes my people is if I accuse them before talking to them first, or at least reviewing the facts. Let me review body camera. Let me review what's happening. And all I'm asking is for you guys to trust me to be that fair. Because we are. And we have the documentation to prove it.
You did state, though, that it does not say on the notice anything about extensions or anything other than just the contact. I mean, is there, you know, something that we can state or at least send out that says, hey,
he's asking for the extension on the letter.
Right. She did state that they would add that to the letter.
Yeah, that is something that, I realize that as people, that's something we looked at and said, hey, we need to do better about communicating on a letter. And we will. Yes, sir.
To the existing people that already received things without that portion of the letter, are we sending something to them to let them know?
He wants to know if we're going to send another letter out to let them know, well, you can have an extension.
Well, I think that you can communicate that on the inspection dates or as they're calling you.
Yes, and we do already. Right. Majority of them that call, or majority of them that have received notice, especially the businesses, have called. The only ones that we haven't received a call from are the ones that came up here last 2 weeks ago.
No, nor did one of them did, and before the meeting where he complained, I'd already been out there and gave him an extension.
Oh, okay, so that was the one.
So
okay.
I don't understand.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, bottom line with this is you know, what I'm trying to get at is, in order to get more businesses in, I don't think we're going to be doing that by running out some of the smaller businesses that we have. I mean, we're asking somebody to fix something that's $120,000 within, you know, 30 days. I mean, that really puts a big disadvantage on that type of thing. So I just feel that when it comes down to these things, I mean, we really do need to, you know, be reiterating to them that we are here to work with you. You know, these are the items that need to be fixed, obviously, and if we can take care of these smaller things to get to these bigger things. I also believe that the city ought to be somewhat involved in trying to, you know, help in trying to do some of this stuff. At TML, we were, one of those big conferences that we went to, you know, we were learning that, you know, there's other cities that when they give you that code compliance, they actually have like a trailer, you know, that has, weed eaters or something to help, you know, in case that they have this issue. I mean,
can you go so far as I didn't understand what you're trying to say. You said a trailer. What was the trailer for?
The what?
What was the trailer for? I missed that part.
Oh, well, I was just saying that there are other cities that when they do give these types of citations, they give opportunities for, you know, other people to come and maybe help them fix these small holes.
Well, that's
city's not going to get it.
No, no.
Like, for example, let me add. So the Texas Municipal League Conference, they do awards every year. And every year, there's always different innovative projects and programs. Mm-hmm. And so they gave an award this year to a city, I don't remember who it was, but they had, like, a trailer where if a homeowner doesn't have a weed eater, a lawnmower, those kind of things, they can check them out to help them mow their lawns.
Right.
And then, you know, there have been programs in the past where there's a paint the house program, which we already had that come up with Councilmembers Walzik and Martin.
Right.
So these ideas have come up too before here, where let's get a program together, where volunteers will go out and assist people with their road violations. But that's what we lack is physical bodies to show up and do that. I think that would be a great idea.
I will tell you that it's a Bravo program. We're just code enforcement as far as how we're doing it, Bravo, whatever it is, and it's infancy stage. I've met people that actually say, hey, let me know when you have a house that needs help. I will come out. And they don't even live in the city. They just have teams that do this. Hey, you need to clean it out. We need to clean. I would love that. It is very hard with just being a two-person team with my other responsibilities and her being alone. So if you got suggestions, Mr. Garza, or anyone up here have ideas or have teams that would be willing, I don't want to kick people out of their houses. I want to help them live a healthy life. That's the goal. So if that means we can help them paint and there's groups that are willing, or that we can help them just repair the fascia or the side of the building, let's do that. I need help. So
let us remind the businesses, and Officer Wallace has walked a few times. We have the Kirby Business Improvement Grant Program. It used to be the Facade Improvement Grant Program that we have had since, I'm going to say, 2015. And we have only had a handful of businesses take advantage of that, where they can get a matching grant, $1,500 to fix something on the exterior of their building, whether it's a sign, paint, awnings. That's some help that the city has been funding, but we hand-delivered applications to business owners, but we get very few takers.
Would that include parking lots, like to repave a whole parking lot?
No, it has to be on the building itself. That's in their current requirements.
Okay. So, particularly when it comes to some of the businesses that showed up last week, I mean, if we could send something to them that would basically discuss, you know, the extension or talk to them about that kind of stuff, because, I mean, even the BFW, when they came out, it's, you know, like he had stated, he was trying to get grants to help, you know, fund all this stuff, but obviously it's not going to happen overnight. So if we could figure out a way to work with these people in order to ensure that, you know, that they're getting in compliance, but that we're also, you know, saying, hey, these are obviously things that need to be addressed. So, is there anything that we can send out that can kind of maneuver into that?
So I don't know if you were able to hear it. Officer Wallace said, one, she's already been over to visit with him. Even prior to him coming to the meeting, she's already visited with him about an extension. And then they've made contact with the others.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to just reiterate one thing. We have never asked someone to do the entire parking lot. That's where it's getting misconstrued to you. It's the potholes that they need to cover. And if the parking lot has no stall striping or curb stops where they need to be, they need to install them. We're not asking them to repave an entire parking lot. We're asking them to repair The gentleman in question is going to have to do a very good portion of his parking lot because there is barely any concrete or asphalt there, and that is going to be a major project, and that is what he got an extension on, including his buildings.
I was also asking about the I just want to make sure that we're working with these people. That's all.
I just want to let y'all know, you know, I want to make sure that the facts are being stated to y'all, because not everything is being stated to y'all how it's been stated from us to them. So y'all don't have an accurate picture of what we're actually saying. And if y'all have any questions about it, y'all can feel free to contact me.
It'd be Monique, if she would throw that around.
Don't open that door.
Contact Monique.
All right, are there any more questions for Chief and Officer Wallace?
I just have one more. For example, at the VFW, maybe they only want so many spots. Why would they have to explain to me about the striping situation there? I mean, we're talking about a 501c3. Those were the ones that we were keeping secret, right? Okay, gotcha.
Okay, are there any more questions or concerns for our Chief or Officer Wallace?
No.
Okay, no. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you,
guys. Okay. Moving on to 9, Councilmember Street.
I'd like to make a motion that we take a 15-minute break, please.
Second. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Street, seconded by Councilmember Walczak, to take a 10-minute break. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Walczak?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge.
No. We will take a 10-minute break.
You can't stop yourself.
No, I can't.
Mike. Okay.
I've got candy up here in the Kleenex.
I have candy.
Lysol. Right? I know.
Patty, where's the Lysol?
I think he should be wearing a mask.
I know. I'm going to go get my mask. He's got his in his back pocket.
I know. I'm like,
well, I only had Adam's allergies when I walked in. If I have anything worse, I'm going after Cam.
It's like you're getting it from both sides here.
I'll tell you.
I'm the one with the allergies, but I haven't coughed.
Yeah, well, no. She had something else. She's the dangerous one. I'm surprised. She needs to sit by herself.
Francis?
So am I, though. But my husband does everything for me, so it doesn't matter.
Are we ready, Patty? Okay. We will reconvene this meeting. We have had our 10-minute break. Moving on to 9G, discussion and possible action to schedule a city council retreat. Any discussion on this? Councilmember Walczak.
Okay. I've thought about this a lot. I know Janice and I have had some problems, and we're working on those. And we will continue to work on those. I don't really have a lot of problems, but with this particular thing, I just don't feel that $5,000 for us to be out here in public getting evaluated. I think our problems to this day, like I said when you asked me the question, what are you going to do when situations arise and how are you going to handle it? I said, I'm going to handle it in my way. I'm going to listen. And then I'm going to ask if you want a bowl of ice cream, just like I do my husband. That's the end of the hunt. I'm just not going to spend an additional $5,000 of the city's money for us to be evaluated in front of God and everybody. I believe we're adults, and somehow, some way, we need... I think even Sylvia and I have a few little problems. Yeah, see, exactly. She's so violent. No, but I mean, if just learn to get along. And things in the past, you know, I know they hurt. And I know some people are hurt more than others. Things have been said that can't be taken back, but they could be apologized for. In both respects, all the way around this table, and I'm just not willing to spend $5,000 of this city's money to be confronted in front of God and everybody, and that's all I've got to say about this.
Mayor Pro Tem Greider.
So, I brought up the council retreat because I was listening to a speaker from another city, and they were saying that they have basically retreats with their council because there's a lot of conflict, and so they would have these occasionally. Now, I know for not even just, you know, local, but, you know, state, federal, I mean, even the military, they have things where they do it. I have a feeling that, to be honest, let's just be real, nobody up here wants to sit together. I can't even get us to go eat together. So nobody's going to sit. We did once, a couple of us, yeah, you're right. So I don't think nobody wants to do it. I was just hoping that it would be something where maybe we could all, like, air out, you know, our grievances. Not saying that it would have fixed everything. I'm not saying that. But I think sometimes when you go, especially when they do personality traits and all that type of stuff, you'll learn a lot about each other. You'll learn that, you know, a certain person might seem like they're introvert, but they're really not, or they might seem like, you know, in front of everybody, they're one way. When they go home, they're a totally different way. You know, you learn a lot of different things. And there's experts that's what they do. They teach you. But nobody wants to do it. I'm fine. Just let it go. I will say, if we don't do a council retreat, I would like everybody to agree up here, because if we do not have to, it will not be a quorum if we just go and break bread together occasionally. Can we just agree? Okay, never mind.
You're right. It will not be a quorum. But there's so many people in this town going to accuse you of being a quorum.
No, I mean,
file charges on you and everything else.
Okay. See, I wasn't going.
No, that's true. It's a social occasion. It's not a quorum.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yes, that would be fine.
I tried. That's all.
Please tell me like it is, Tanisha.
It's fine.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Miller.
Mayor, if I may, I would like to take on this one, speak before I hear your mind, if I can.
Well, you know, Mr. Miller, I can't read your mind, so I just... We have our discussion, and then I will call on you.
Okay, thank you.
Did you wish to speak on this issue?
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, most of the time I want to speak after everybody speaks, but on this particular one, I just wanted to address.
Well, I'm going in uniform fashion, and you can speak after our discussion.
Yes, ma'am. I know you thank you. So it's totally cool. This one, I'm just going to be honest about. So at this retreat, from what I understand, there's things like and what I'm seeing right now, I know, just like you guys know, everybody's position here on each other.
And I'm literally seeing an opportunity for each one of you to attend something where y'all can at least entertain the idea of things like team building and whatever else they do, kumbaya, whatever, but professionals, experts, and things like that that might be able to help either one of you or all of you take a step in the right direction to have a better relationship with each other. And any progress towards having a better relationship with each other is a positive thing. And I'm disgusted when I hear anybody on council try to, I want to do that. Well, we know you don't want to do that. And you have, each one of you have very valid reasons to not want to do that. But it's not going to cost you a dime but your time. And as politicians, as human beings, I wonder why you wouldn't, as a human being, want to do something to promote a more positive relationship with someone, even someone you don't like. So that's all I wanted to say. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say about that. I would hope that you guys would go to that retreat, spend that money, and take that opportunity to try to get something out of it positive for you guys. Anything positive that happens between council is positive for the community. Thank you. Did you have a question for me? I'm all ears.
No, sir.
No.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Councilmember Walter?
Yeah, and I would love to have a retreat, except that they're basing it on the fact that it's a quorum, therefore it must be done in public. And I believe, as this council is starting to work together more, that this should be done in private. And I'm not getting that. I'm getting, oh, it's a quorum. And that is the situation with all of this. I do not believe this council should be airing their grievances in public, as we need to show unity up here. And, you know, if you want to stick us in the back room, that'd be great. But that is not the way this particular retreat's going to work. So, therefore, that's my reasoning behind that.
Good night. Unacceptable, sir. Language.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
Out of here. Make sure he leaves the property.
Kim.
Okay, moving on. 9H. Discussion of possible action to appoint members to the Economic Development Committee. I don't believe that we have had, we don't have anybody. Okay, moving on. 9I, discussion of possible action to appoint members to the Beautification and Recycling Committee. Moving on. Discussion of possible action to appoint members to the Planning and Zoning Commission. 9K, discussion and possible action to appoint members to the Festival Planning Committee. We have one, Ruby Somerang. I will entertain discussion or a motion. Okay, well... Okay, well, we will consider that null and void. She can reapply. 9L, discussion and possible action to appoint members to the Ordinance Review Committee. Okay. 9M, discussion, update and discussion, possible action on city cell phones for council members. Stupid. Okay. Discussion. Anybody have anything to say on this?
Yes. Look at
all. Councilmember Garza.
Okay, so after looking at these
with our own, from our own barriers, I think that would be the best bet.
Councilmember Street.
I submitted some optional, cheaper smartphone options to Monique. I found nine different models on Boost that are all less than $100. Three of them were 50 or under, and their smartphones where, you know, texting isn't an issue, email wouldn't be an issue. I don't know how you do email on a flip phone. Can you?
No.
Well, do you, Janisha? Mayor Pro Tem?
AAA, BBB, CZZ.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I really think that the flip phone is not a viable option for what we want to use it for. I realize you were looking at getting the cheapest option because Councilman Martin asked for that. However, I think he meant the viable option that was the cheapest.
His motion was cheapest possible phone, and I heard someone say no Apple devices. But I did go back to a couple of places. I went back to T-Mobile and asked them if they have another phone outside of iPhones, which they had initially offered me. And they said they do have some Android smartphones that would have the same monthly cost. There's a whole list of them. Sonos, Samsung Galaxies.
Things in the $50 to $75 range.
No. So they said yes. They would do a one-time equipment discount. you have to pick which phone you want, and I have to find out what that equipment discount would be. Because like on that quote they provided, you'll see that at the bottom they were discounting the equipment, $672 for the seven flip phones, and then they were crediting that entire amount. So those were going to be free. So depending on, I guess, which one of these smartphones you want, you could get a discounted option. But the monthly service would still be the same for unlimited.
Monique, if we're going to do this, go ask them if what they would discount a Samsung 10 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's on this list. I don't see a 10 Plus. There's a Samsung Galaxy A32, a Samsung Galaxy A13, Samsung Galaxy A12, A03, a Motorola Stylus.
And what company is that?
T-Mobile.
How much is 813?
I'm sorry?
813.
813.
813? You like that one? They don't tell me the price. It just says that they can offer those.
Oh.
813, 5G.
Yeah, that's.
Check on.
Do we only have T-Mobile as an option?
No, I talked to 21.
No.
AT&T doesn't have any other. It doesn't have Samsung's under 10 plus.
Boost does for $30 a month.
That was for $30 a month for any of these interesting.
Well, that's my plan, and I have everything, and I have a Motorola something. I don't know. No, I have a Samsung. Sorry.
I have a Samsung.
That's what I have to say. So.
So,
can you check the Samsung? When you get that price, can you get a price for the Samsung Galaxy A13?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
$32.
Okay.
That's a Galaxy 4.
We're not going down again. That's new. Yeah.
We don't need it. We don't need a super duper. We just need to be able to do the basic stuff. Ask them for the highest functioning one of those that is under $100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. I mean, because when I saw the flip, I thought I was misreading. I actually Googled it. I was like, just to make sure. And I was like, is that really a flip phone? Okay.
It's $19.95 again.
Do not include me in that, please. please.
Well,
you need to ask who needs one and who doesn't.
Well, this is my thing.
I don't, well, the quote is based on being 7 phones.
So can I say
that? And it would be 7, if we went with T-Mobile, it would be 7 phones added to the city's existing account to prevent us from another bill, it would just be added to what we have.
Well, you can keep the one you did for me in the drawer, because I don't want it.
So that's my, I think no matter what, and I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but no matter what, who's going to be in your spot, I think it needs to be a phone in place, just like there's a tablet in place, you know, just in case, no matter what. That equipment needs to be there.
Think so, yes.
So, okay.
All right. Okay to move on? 9N, reports by council liaisons. First is Animal Advisory Committee.
We will be having a meeting January the 6th at 10 a.m., followed by a tour of our facilities. I would encourage everybody participate in that tour as to see what is going on over there and the repairs needed. January the 6th. I believe it's a Friday morning.
Okay. Next up is Beautification and Recycle Committee, Mayor Pro Tem Ryder.
We just obviously wrapped up our holiday decorating contest. So thank you to all the everyone who participated. In the future coming up, there will be, I believe it's March or April. I'll have to go back and look at the date. The next project will be Friendship Park, the entrance sign. That area, they're going to repaint it, and they're going to spruce up the bricks and everything over there. So that's exciting for the next project in March or April, and I'll get the date exactly for that. Now, the other thing is that there was a list of items needed, and hopefully if we don't have it at Public Works, hopefully the city, since they're doing the work, it's just like spray paint and certain things like that, that hopefully that we could, so it's not coming out the ladies' pockets, that we could provide that for them.
So you want to put that on the next agenda so we get them to agree to allow them to spruce up city property?
Okay, yes. So let's put that on the agenda also. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next is Building and Standards Commission. Councilmember Martin?
I have nothing to report. Our next meeting is next month. What's the 28th, I think?
It's actually going to be January 31st.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Next up is Crime Control and Prevention District. Councilmember Garza?
I didn't make the meeting, and I didn't get any updates from anybody in Crime Control. So the only thing I can really come to you with is the Cookies of Santa happening on December 18th. At the
Thank you, sir. Next is Economic Development Committee, Councilmember Apodaca.
We have not met, and we will probably meet in January.
Okay. Next is Planning and Zoning Commission. That is myself. They recently had a meeting this past Tuesday, and they went over issues that we, the sprinkler systems that we have resolved during this meeting tonight. Next up is Senior Center Corporation Board, Councilmember Street.
Okay. The Christmas luncheon is tomorrow, and we're all booked up. Santa and the Grinch are going to be there. I want to thank the community for their generosity in providing gifts to put under the tree for our Santa for Seniors program. And we did have a meeting on Tuesday, so we'll have a meeting next month.
What time is the thing tomorrow?
11:30.
Okay. That concludes that. We will be moving to 10, executive session, but we have an option to have our session out here instead of going back to the room. I would like to give all of us an option whether we can have the session out here or we can go back to the room. I have spoken with Clarissa, and she does not have a problem answering our questions out here in the open meeting.
Also, I don't think he could go back there.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. And actually, just my opinion, since Councilmember Garza is on Zoom, I think it would be easier for us to have it in open session. Does anybody have any objections?
No, ma'am.
I think you should go to executive session.
In the back?
Yep.
Take a vote.
Okay, I will entertain a motion. Well, we need a final vote to determine.
Mayor, make a motion that we have our executive session here in the front. And
Sylvia.
I got a question first.
Yes, sir. I need a second first.
No, I need somebody to ask for. It can't be taped, right?
Yeah, if we stay out here, it's open meeting.
Well, see, I didn't think executive session could be taped. That's what I'm asking.
No, it will not. But if we hold it out here, it will not be considered an executive session.
Okay. Is that legal?
Okay. Motion dies. I will close this meeting at... Okay, so
we just go into executive session.
The consensus was that we would have it in open session. Councilmember Garza wants to have it in closed session. Well, I thought that we would have a vote, so it would be on record that we would have it out here. But Councilmember Apodaca made the motion and it died. So therefore, we will go into executive session.
Okay.
Does everybody understand that?
Well, since I was late to the game. can just make a motion again and say,
okay.
Or it died, that's it. So we have to
go. No.
The motion died. Call the executive session and we go to the back.
Okay.
You didn't remind them they needed to second it.
Yeah, that's how it
was. Okay, so closing this meeting at 10:11 p.m. Going to executive session.
How are we going to bring the food in there?
Legal advice, and that doesn't, if it's executive session and they get the legal advice.